radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
You know, I don't think we need rest really right now. We've had plenty of rest. We've had a lot of off days this last month. So it's just a temporary postponement. And so we'll just take it as that and come out ready to play tomorrow.
One of the worst things about last night's postponed World Series game is the realization that we are not that far away from the end of an Astros baseball season, for better or for worse. That, the voice of Dusty Baker after last night's postponement. I am Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, as you heard old voice guy say. 713-780-3776 to dial in, to text in, tweet us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Sean, vibe check. Where you at right now after game three, supposed to take place last night with Noah Syndergaard, who kind of sucks, going for Philadelphia against Lance McCullers, now pushed back to tonight. Ranger Suarez, ooh, my first name's Ranger, look at me, going up against Lance McCullers tonight.
Does Ranger Suarez not get who sucks?
No.
Okay.
I
literally don't know if he sucks or not, but the idea that he was going to start the game after Noah Syndergaard, who sucks, I thought, oh, maybe this guy also sucks.
Well, they brought him in game one of this series for seemingly strange reasons. I guess the Phillies felt the need to, I don't know, take the load off of their bullpen, but now all of a sudden the load has been taken off of their bullpen because they get an extra day of rest after more days of rest in between the National League Championship Series and this World Series. Ranger Suarez, the baseball casual in me, looks at his name and says, his first name is Ranger. His parents were trying too hard as far as actually being nervous about him from an Astros perspective. I suppose you would prefer Noah Syndergaard. Here's what I want to say, okay? Last night online, there was a lot of bitching and moaning about the delay and how the Astros have dealt with this a lot. They, of course, you know, go back to that series between the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, you might get a little bit of an edge, and there's so many rain delays taking place in that series. Oh, no, now it's not going to be quite the same for the Houston Astros when they go up against New York. And then they took them down in four games. Can we stop acting like this is a concern? Can we stop being mad or frustrated about an extra day of rest for an underdog Philadelphia team? Oh, no, this is going to help them so much. Is it really? Do we really feel that way? I saw a lot of rhetoric like that online last night. And it's just unbecoming. If you're going to be truly the villains of baseball, the villains of the sports world, you have to be like, yeah, this is great. You're going to get them at their absolute best. And I suppose that sounds a little bit annoying. You want to win at all costs after what happened in last year's World Series and in the 2019 World Series. But I don't know. I felt like there was too much whining last night. Oh, no. The Phillies get a little bit of an edge. They don't have to throw Noah Syndergaard out on the hill. What? Like, Ranger Suarez is going to be that much of a difference? You still have a massive advantage in Game 3 and Game 4 with your starting pitchers going up against whoever they throw out there. And I know that the Phillies get to reshuffle the deck, and that way that they get to minimize the usage of a guy like a Syndergaard or any of the other scrubs that they have that they could throw out there. But I just feel like there was a little bit too much whining last night about it. You heard Dusty Baker coming into the segment saying, like, yeah, we've had a lot of days off. We're kind of tired of all the days off. Dusty also continued at yesterday's press conference after the announcement of the postponed game, saying that waiting around is harder.
Well, I think it's harder to, you know, to wait around and then turn it off, you know, because the waiting around to play, you know, I found that sometimes you end up more tired and burned up energy, not knowing when and if you're going to play. So now we know we're not playing. So now we just treat it as an off day. Guys go in, get treatment. Guys will probably hit extra in the cage and get ready for tomorrow.
I did find it funny in Dusty Baker's press conference where at one point he was wondering whether or not his players would be able to eat. I'm not sure if they're going to get be able to get reservations. Like, these are the kind of first world cake eater problems that I love to hear about, because it's amusing to hear someone say, like, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go to that 5-star restaurant later on tonight. I might have to settle for a 3-star with poor Yelp reviews.
It makes it seem like they might starve. Like, yeah. I don't know if they have a somewhere to eat tonight. It's like, well, they probably can buy something.
Go to Pat's King of Steaks. Get yourself an authentic Philly cheesesteak. You go across the street to Gino's as well. I prefer the Irish side of the street to the Italian side
Jager's.
Of the street.
Yeah.
You know, well, listen, I'm just going where my heritage tells me to go. Pat's is where my heritage tells me to go. You have options. It's amusing to hear that. I don't think this is going to provide Philadelphia any edge. And if it does, I mean, you didn't deserve to win this World Series to begin with.
Also, in game one, they scored 5 runs on Aaron Nola. In game two, they scored 5 runs on Zach Wheeler. Against their bullpen in the 2 games, they haven't scored any runs.
Yeah.
So these the two aces that are getting, you know, that, oh, they it gets to push them up in the order. It's like, well, that's who they scored
Good.
All their runs against. Like,
Good.
They haven't had trouble against those guys.
Exactly, Sean. I don't respect them. And I mean, look, I'm a baseball casual, so maybe I'm supposed to. But I think going into this completely blind, like many Philadelphians are, because they had no idea that the Phillies were even remotely good until like the last couple of weeks. And now they're going to have to determine whether or not they go on Thursday night to a bar to watch a Phillies or Eagles game. How many TVs are going to have the Phillies on? How many TVs are going to have the Eagles on? Honestly, that's a city that cares way more about his football team. That will be interesting to see how things pan out here in Houston, how many Eagle fans would actually be at that game. Might be a little bit more difficult to make that choice if the Phillies are playing in a World Series game at the same time as Thursday Night Football. But no one even really cares about that. This is not going to provide Philadelphia some dramatic advantage that helps them win the World Series. You either were going to win this or you weren't. You go into it the heavy favorites because that Phillies team barely made it into the playoffs. They lost 13 of 20 games down the stretch. I feel the exact same way that I felt going into this series where I said Astros in 4. I have said Astros in 5 going forward. Stop online complaining about this. And I realize on the Twitch chat, there's a couple of people, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, who are saying, yeah, Paul, if you go on Astros Twitter, all you're going to see is complaining and complaining and more complaining on things ranging from Dusty Baker's lineups to the disrespect that is still thrown the Astros way due to the cheating scandal. You're right. The online world is a terrible place, and I don't think Elon Musk is going to fix Twitter anytime soon and make it so that there's less whining out there. I just think it's unbecoming to look at a delayed game and to say, oh, this is going to hurt the Astros. This isn't fair. Or to whine about how the Phillies don't have a roof over their stadium. I mean, it's annoying. Northeastern weather blows. It's terrible there in Philadelphia from April and probably into early May. October is where it starts to get terrible again. Ooh, the leaves, they're great. Yes. And then it becomes cold and miserable and awful. Wow, maybe they should get a roof. Screw all of that. The thing that I'm most frustrated about is that we just didn't get a game last night. That's it. I'm not frustrated about the Phillies getting an edge on this going forward. If you disagree with me, 713-780-3776. I just think a lot of you guys need a tall glass of calm the bleep down. Calm down. Sit back. Have somebody give you a back massage. Cling onto your whoopee, whatever the hell you have. Maybe you have a stuffed animal you haven't held in a really long time. Stop being upset about this. This isn't going to give Philadelphia any edge at all. You still have the clear edge from a pitching perspective. Jose Altuve's waking up. Your lineup, I feel like, yeah, it's probably slightly better than the Phillies lineup. Not that much better. You have the edge here. Stop complaining about a rain delay. Okay? Okay. 713-780-3776 to call. It's also how you text in on the HRNP listener line. Sean A. Mapes is behind the glass at Sean A. Mapes. I am at Galan Says. And of course, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. That conversation remains on the table. Dusty Baker is doing something very interesting, and he's not going to pull out of it after putting a lineup out last night. I think this is perhaps the ballsiest thing that Dusty Baker has done, and I really like it. You'll find out what that is next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Were the Phillies changing their pitching plan, or do we have the same lineup as you originally had posted today?
Yes.
Really quick from Dusty Baker there. The lineup that was scheduled for last night's Game 2, which of course was postponed in the... Game 3, which was postponed in the World Series, was supposed to be as follows. Pretty normal at the top. Jose Altuve leading off. Jeromy Peña hitting second. Yordan Alvarez third. Alex Bregman fourth. Kyle Tucker fifth. Yuli Gurriel sixth. It's been the same for pretty much every single game. Hell, it's been the same in 8 and 9 spot for a while as well, once the Astros realized that Jake Meyers wasn't going to give them anything and that Mauricio Dubon is nothing more than an extra outfielder that you could throw in there. Chaz McCormick and Martin Maldonado, not Christian Vasquez, behind the plate. But in the 7th spot, we finally saw a change of pace. No Trey Mancini, about bleeping time. But no Aledmys Díaz either. We're instead, tonight, assuming there is not another rainout postponement, going to see David Hensley, who we last saw in an extremely feisty at-bat, game one against the Seattle Mariners, where he eventually was hit by a pitch and helped set the table for Yordan Alvarez, his eventual walk-off home run. Here is Dusty Baker talking about David Hensley yesterday at his press conference.
Well, you know, I like his approach, his aggressiveness, and his overall, fight to give you a good at-bat. You know, fall off some pitches. He'll put some others in play. He uses the whole field. And, you know, he's a guy that's risen to the occasion, especially when I had asking to pinch hit. I mean, which is very, very tough for anybody, but it's especially tough for young players to pinch hit. He's done well in that role. Like, if I give him 4 at-bats, he does well. If I give him 1 at-bat, I know it's going to be a tough at-bat.
It is a ballsy move. It is the right move. And I hope that the Dusty Baker haters out there, critics, sometimes the criticism is warranted, by the way, will give him a tip of the hat, because this is, I think, the correct move. Can you remember 1 at-bat from either Trey Mancini or Aledmys Díaz this postseason that you felt was a competitive one? I can't. David Hensley is 1-for-1 in that category. You got to earn playing time in sports, right? You shouldn't just be getting a spot because you were the big acquisition at the trade deadline, or because at one point during the year, I'm talking about Aledmys Díaz here, you were hot. If neither of those guys are doing anything, you put somebody else in. And to do this in Game 3 of the World Series maybe is a little bit late. Maybe it could have been done in the ALCS. Maybe it could have been done in the divisional round. But I think Dusty Baker deserves credit for having the stones to put David Hensley into the lineup. Sean Mapes, it looked like you had a thought.
I was just going to say, does leaning into 2 pitches count as a competitive at-bat?
Yes.
Because then Díaz did that.
That's true.
Leaned straight into 2 pitches.
That is true.
Because he was terrified to actually swing the bat.
You know what? At least he was trying. Trey Mancini, put your head in the middle of the strike zone, right? Just put it out there. You got a helmet, it's fine. Won't hurt if it's a breaking ball. Probably would hurt if it was a fastball. Feel like if you get hit directly in the helmet, the force that your head would feel, you're still feeling what, like 50% of it? 35% of it? How much cranial impact does a baseball helmet actually prevent? Something I don't actually know. I just know that when I was in high school playing baseball, I stopped playing because my pitching coach, a former major league pitcher, was regularly throwing the ball at my head. And I became scared of the baseball. Not kidding on that front. Bobby Thigpen used to hold the major league record for saves in a season. Fun times at Shorecrest Prep.
Wow. And he's so why was he throwing balls at your head?
I think he was messing around. I'm not even kidding on that. This was low-key bullying. He got a kick out of it. I don't know.
I don't feel like it was that low-key. I feel like maybe...
He wasn't cackling about it, but I remember. I was like, why do I continuously get hit in the head? I wasn't even allowed to swing the bat in this spot. I'm just in the batter's box. And essentially, once the ball got to home plate, our coach would hit the ball to whatever infielder or outfielder he wanted to field the ball. This is kind of messed up, right?
Yeah, it's super messed up.
I have more messed up stories about
that. Very messed up.
I have more messed up stories about that team. That team was our best team in high school, like always. That was the one sport that we ever did well in. I think we almost beat Alex Rodriguez as a freshman in the state championship, or we might have actually beaten Alex Rodriguez as a freshman in the state championship. I don't even know. We played like just classic, boring small ball, and somehow we're good enough at it. But yeah, during practice, I regularly got hit in the head.
But there's a lot of wild stuff happening behind the scenes. You're the 86 Mets.
I won't say. I mean, it wasn't like there was cocaine going on and like people having sex in the stands.
Yeah, you don't know what that pitching coach was doing.
I don't think he was doing those things. There's nowhere to hide in a high school baseball stadium. We're talking about a professional baseball stadium. Okay, it's a little bit different. Anyway, 713-780-3776 is how you call it. You can text it to on the HR&P listener line. You can also tweet at Gallant. Says, Todd, the show said Hensley is on the roster because of him. Think he was throwing a dig at James Click signing Mancini. The Mancini move made sense at the time. Were we not all excited about it? He just has stunk. And if you've been bad, then you shouldn't play. That's it. It's that simple. You could also get after us on Twitter or on the text line 713-780-3776. We do have a couple of texts here. Diaz had a 13-plus pitch at bat in one of the previous series, maybe a hit or a walk, too. Like, that's where we're at, though, with the designated hitter spot. I think he did something good. I don't remember it that well. Hensley, at the very least, deserves an opportunity. And if it doesn't work out, I mean, you can go to somebody else. But right now, the seventh spot in your lineup has been just a black hole. McCormick has at least contributed. He had the two-run home run against the Yankees. Maldonado's even done some things at the plate. The seventh spot has given you nothing. Honestly, it might be even worth it to move the designated hitter into the ninth spot or out of the seventh spot to the eight or something like that and do a little extra flipping around because you just haven't gotten anything out of it. Another text, 713-780-3776. It's essentially the same kind of line of thinking. Hey, like, why didn't this happen earlier? I think that's the one second guess that you can do here. But look, he decided to make the change. I think he should be given some credit for that. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can ask me more questions than just about, I don't know, the Houston Astros, though we do prefer that you keep that conversation going. Fake Tony Stark asks, Fake Tony Stark asks, late night last night, Paul? You have a hat on. Yeah, I did not shower. Did not shower today. Today was one of those days where I woke up and I was like, ugh. Because I looked outside, saw the weather, and just thought to myself, I kind of want to stay underneath the covers a little bit longer. So it was one of those. Don't really have a good reason for it. Other than like, oh, Paul's not having like the best of days the last couple of days. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Is Paul going through a depression? Maybe. 713-780-3776. Texan Matt says, hopefully we see a Texans trade today. And I will just leave this little three-minute window that we have before the next segment as our obligatory Texans at the trade deadline conversation. Because the trade deadline is today at 3 Central. They should make a move. Will they? I honestly don't know. I feel like they might be putting too much value next to Brandon Cook's name. Cooks doesn't want to be here. If you're trying to establish any sort of culture or give Lovie Smith any chance of being successful here, then Cooks needs to be gone. Cooks is not helping out. You saw on that play early in the game on Sunday where Davis Mills, I think, thought Cooks was going to run a hook, and Cooks instead ran straight down the field, had a couple of steps on the defensive back, and Cooks did not even look around to see back at his quarterback, Mills. He just walked straight to the sideline without even looking back. You heard him in his post-game press conference being asked about whether or not he wants to be traded. And he just said, like, yeah, I'm just going to focus on the here, the now. Laremy Tunsil should be on the table. What is Laremy Tunsil really giving you right now outside of some help when it comes to hopefully having a couple of good games for Dameon Pierce? But even there, it's not enough to merit keeping him on the roster. You may as well shop him at the very least. Same thing with Jerry Hughes. You should be looking to move everything at this point in time. And I am not embracing the suck. All I am saying is this team stinks, and there is such a lack of a pulse here. Sure, trading players for draft picks would potentially make the situation worse here as far as establishing a culture, which they were so big about not too long ago. But, like, where are you going? You're not going anywhere. So move away your big pieces. It sucks. This year is just hard. They're going to get killed on Thursday. They're going to get absolutely smacked. And I've seen some comments on the Twitch, hey, who's going to score more points, the Phillies or the Texans? Who's going to is the Phillies defense going to outscore the Texans? It's stuff like that. I don't even want to watch the game. I know I have a two TV setup, but on Thursday, will I be watching the Texans game and the World Series? Probably not. Like, I don't even want to be distracted by the disgusting football above. I might put on, like, I don't know, Rick and Morty or something. And I won't even have the audio on. I'll just have something else. Maybe I'll put on HGTV and think about houses I could buy in Magnolia, Waco. You know? Stare at some of the house procurers and wonder, what's their deal? Why are they doing this show? Are they even good at flipping houses? Stuff like that. Because, yeah, it's bad. 713-780-3776 to call. To text in, too, on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Tweet me at Gallant Says, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Up next, any updates on the Astros, we will bring them to the table if we see them. The game is supposed to take place tonight. It is Lance McCullers against for Philadelphia, Ranger Suarez, who again is a real name. And we'll also talk about Monday Night Football, where the Cincinnati Bengals got their asses kicked by one of the Texans' draft picks, the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens made a big trade. And do we still like Jalen Hurts? Given that that game on Thursday is about to take place, all of that's on the table. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What does this do to your pitching plans?
So we'll go, tomorrow will be Ranger. That'll line him up for potential game 7. And then we'll go Nola on regular rest. And then if we don't use him in the next couple of days, we'll go Syndergaard game 5. If we do use him, it might be Gibson. And we're going to give Wheeler extra rest. And he'll be still game 6.
So that's how the Phillies are going to manage their rotation going forward. That the voice of Phillies manager, Rob Thompson. You have seen Ranger Suarez earlier in this series. We're going all the way back to game 1, where after Austin Nola had been chased out of the game. Excuse me, Aaron Nola. I always confuse Austin Nola with Aaron Nola because Austin Nola I covered when I was in Seattle. Aaron Nola, he was chased after 4 1/3, and the Phillies got kind of weird with the way that they managed things afterwards. So ultimately, I think in a 2-out situation was when they finally brought him in. You had him for just 2/3 of an inning. He allowed a hit. It was a bizarre decision, I thought, by Philadelphia, and they are rather fortunate that this is now a series that has been extended thanks to the rain delay that we saw last night. Suarez came into the game in the bottom of the 7th. He got Yordan Alvarez to strike out swinging. He came back out for the bottom of the eighth. Alex Bregman had a ground out, then Kyle Tucker, single to right center. So he got pulled after facing three batters. A weird decision with the way that they used him on the year, 10-7, a 3.65 ERA, a 1.33 walks, hits per innings pitch. Before we move into the NFL segment, there were some comments I wanted to touch on. First, rain delay my ass. It's 2022. Get a roof, for crying out loud. It makes sense in some cities. I think a dome makes sense down here because it's hot. I was surprised that the Rangers did not have a roof over their stadium for the longest time, given that that place is apparently the old stadium that they had before they built the new one is an oven. I kind of felt the same way about the Atlanta Braves being outside. There's a lot of hot games. It's kind of weird that they've been in that situation. Also kind of weird that they destroyed their stadium not too long after building themselves a brand new one. Makes sense in Tampa Bay with all the thunderstorms that you have during the summer. But, I mean, isn't it kind of soft to play sports indoors? Am I the only person who feels that way? I feel like baseball should suck it up and play in the elements. What's wrong with playing in the rain? What, is nothing going to happen over the course of a game? Is it dangerous or something like that? That's what I've never understood about a rainout in baseball. Like, just play through it. Could be interesting to play in the elements. We love watching a football game where it's pouring rain or it's snowing. It might not be actually good football, but there's an aesthetic dynamic to actually watching it. Why not do it with baseball too? Would it be completely terrible? I want to see if a pitcher can actually figure out how to throw the baseball to home plate, and I want to see if a batter can turn on it. Probably would be a little more difficult to do it, but I don't know. Why not play outside? Don't be soft. Another question asks, how would one go about watching the World Series on Thursday while attending the Eagles game? I mean, you better have like the best cell phone provider ever and fantastic signal, because you're going to have to watch it on your phone. I don't think even the luxury club areas, I don't even think they'll have the Astros on TV. I bet that the Texans will probably be a little bit particular about the idea that during the football game, some of those TVs might not be on the football game.
In the press box, do you think they'll be showing the Astros game?
I don't think so. No. No, I don't. I think that's you got to bring your own setup if you want to watch the Astros game while you're in the press box.
But what about the city pride and, you know, they're Houston's team?
I agree. There does seem to be at least a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, hey, we all like each other kind of deal between the Rockets, the Astros, and the Texans. But the Texans, you know, are jealous as hell right now of what the Astros are doing. And I think they probably realize that no one's going to want to go to the game on Thursday if the Astros are playing at the same time. So
they should just put it like on the replay boards. Just put a live feed from Fox.
Yeah, that could
imagine
work.
How loud it'd be if they're like, it's the Astros watch party at NRG Stadium Thursday night. There's also going to be a football game going on. You can watch both sporting events at the same time. Yeah. They would actually sell out with Houston fans. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
That would be great. I'm cool with that. Someone suggested listening to it on the radio. That would be tricky. I mean, obviously you want to listen to the game right here on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, download the app.
92.5 with the app. What I have found is that it is very difficult to listen to radio broadcasts of the game now inside NRG Stadium, specifically on the AM band side of things. I have found that that is very tricky to do. From an FM side of things, I don't know how that would work either.
Wait, it's hard to listen to the radio in NRG Stadium?
It used to not be, and it's changed
did they put lead walls?
I think whatever they've done to boost the signal for the cell phones, yeah, it's actually affected it. Because I've noticed that before, because when I listen to the broadcast of the games while at NRG Stadiums, I have to listen on the FM band, and it's like a 50 to 70 second delay, and it drives me crazy. Like, I can't do it. So anyway, there you go. Let's go around the NFL really quickly.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts
Now.
Football time. That Monday Night Football game was a hard watch. I watched part of it at Porch Wing Pub, which is a place I regularly go to eat wings and watch Monday Night Football. But this is like a return to bad Monday Night Football. Somehow, the Cleveland Browns own Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. They are 4-0 against them over the last 2 years after a 32-13 victory. The other part that sucks about it is I think Cleveland realized that they are capable of playing this way, and this is probably going to affect the Texans' other first-round pick adversely to a point where maybe it's going to be fringe top 10 at the end of the year at best. With Deshaun Watson about a month or so away from his return to under center too, yeah, you can't be feeling great about what kind of draft pick this will be going forward. I guess the one good thing is there really aren't that many terrible teams in the NFL, truly terrible, outside of the Texans and the Lions. So at least you're taking care of your own business on that front. The trade deadline is today, 3 o'clock Central. The big move that we saw yesterday was the Baltimore Ravens trading a second round pick and a fifth round pick for Bears linebacker Roquan Smith, who was pissed off at the beginning of the season about not having a new contract. This comes a couple of days after the Philadelphia Eagles traded a fourth round pick for Bears pass rusher Robert Quinn. So Roquan Smith, is that going to put the Ravens over the top? Middle linebackers, I do think, have a use in this league, especially the really good ones. But how much of a difference does a great middle linebacker make for your team? Roquan Smith did make a difference in the Bears-Texans game, but that's neither here nor there. We saw Jalen Hurts at a press conference. I'm still waiting for him to wear something Houston Astros related, but of course he is not. He is really walking the fence between Philadelphia and Houston when asked about who he is actually rooting for. He did wear a hoodie saying, "God bless whoever hating on me."
That's a good hoodie.
I didn't like it. You're undefeated. Like, who's hating on you right now?
You are right now.
I'm hating on him.
You don't like his hoodie.
I'm hating on him for saying that there are haters right now, Sean Mapes. Jalen Hurts has it pretty damn good right now. That could change, of course, and there could be haters again. But I don't know. I feel like this is a little...
A lot of people hated in the offseason. Now he's hot. They're all on him.
I think you have to wear it when you actually are being hated on and then prove everybody wrong. Like what?
So Davis Mills should wear that hoodie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be at least something.
But then he's going to keep stinking.
That would be something to talk about with the Texans at the very least. And that would be like faking outrage. Oh, how dare Davis Mills do this?
No. And then when he goes like 0-5 the next five games, you would be like, oh, I guess we're right to hate on you, dude. It's really just this specific instance where it's like, hey, you're too good for us to like make fun of the hoodie.
I don't think there's any haters. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, a lot of people questioned him.
Yeah, they did.
He's the best player in the 2020 or the best quarterback in the 2020 draft.
Not a lot of good quarterbacks coming out of the draft of late. We do have a phone call, 713-780-3776. Ryan, bless his heart, wants to weigh in on the Texans. Ryan, what's up?
What's going on, Paulie G?
Yo.
Anyways, I had a thought the other day, or I've had this thought for like a month. What do you think? Is there any thought in anybody's mind at the station that the Texans could be in such purgatory for a long period of time, like the Lions?
Oh, yeah. I think this is a pretty bad spot to be in. At some point during the show, I'm just going to highlight all the bad quarterback situations too. And I know a lot of people want to get a quarterback in this year's coming draft. I want this team to be fun again. Yeah, I understand that line of thinking. But good God, that front seven is just so terrible. It is awful. And I feel like this year's draft might be all about like, hey, let's draft a million building block players on the defensive line. On the offensive line, linebacker,
Roll with another year of Davis Mills.
No, I think you got to sign probably like a free agent quarterback.
Oh, Marcus Mariota, welcome to Houston.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Geno Smith?
I don't think the Texans can afford him.
They will be able to afford
him. I think the Seahawks will do whatever it takes to re-sign him.
I do think that is the case. I think that the Texans are going to have a ton of cap space, though. Like, next year, they actually can play around a little bit. The cap situation has been brutal, but while they don't have much cap space right now due to a lot of the O'Brien moves of the past, they are going to have a ton of cap space this coming offseason. The problem is, who the hell would want to come here?
Yeah, I feel like they're pretty close to having to pay the Jacksonville Jags tax, where the Jags just had to overpay anyone just to get them to play for them.
Yeah, the loser tax. Yeah, it's hard. Speaking of hard, it is hard to follow what Kyrie Irving thinks. But it is amusing to see him backed into a corner. You will hear Kyrie Irving called out by New York media for what he promotes online, his choice of books, his choice of documentaries. Next, right here, it's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Some comments in response to our last segment on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I can speak to this, says Lone Ranger 614 on the Twitch. The club level at Energy Stadium will have the Astros game on. Our long national nightmare is over. By the way, I talk about the Texans making baby steps all the time. I do think they're making steps in the right direction. That is the right move, because that game is probably going to be over by the end of the second quarter. Generally, Philadelphia, either in the first or second quarter of this season, just goes on an absolute heater. Some people are asking, will there be more fans, Eric on the text line, at the Thursday night football game or the Astros watch party at Minute Maid? Well, I guess it depends on what the Astros watch party is going to be all about. Are they going to be charging people to go to that? Because some people have been a little bit cheapo when it comes to watch parties. I will specifically point to the Seattle Mariners. There was a lot of bitching and moaning about that. Hey, we make the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. You had to pay like $20 to go watch the game and still pay the same prices for all the concessions when you got there. It's like you're watching it on the Jumbotron. Is that an enjoyable experience to watch a game on a Jumbotron that will actually be used, so that's cool, at Minute Maid Park? I don't know. I think that's a kind of weird way to watch a game.
I also feel like there's a ton of bad seats when the play isn't going to be on the field. It's going to be on a screen. Like that,
the entire outfield, for example.
Yeah, all of a sudden you just cannot watch the game from certain vantage points.
But there won't be that many people, I think, where that would potentially be an issue. You're right, though, that there will, I would say, a lot of seats that are probably on the first baseline would not have a great view of the Jumbotron. Like, you want
to
sit
so
on
you basically
the
have to
baseline.
Be on the third baseline.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't really, I guess you can kind of be in the Crawford boxes.
Right. You're still going to, I mean, you want to look straight ahead. You know, if you're in a movie theater, you don't want to be too far to the left. You don't want to be too far to the right. You don't want to be straining your head for the entirety of a movie. So, look at us. Look at us just talking about all the alternatives to watching the live football game in town. How things have fallen. Another comment on Twitch.
Also, people complaining about having to pay to go to the Astros watch party. It's like, you're going to have to pay to go to the Texans game too. And that's by far a worse experience.
I agree. But I feel like instead of going to a watch party, like go to a bar and watch the game. It's much more intimate. Now, of course, this bar needs to be aware that there's a World Series game on, and that is never a foregone conclusion in any sports bar in any city in the United States. It is my biggest pet peeve. Hey, there's a big game on. What? Hey, there's literally no games on except for the football game on ESPN. Oh, I don't know how to change the channel. Something that actually happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Anyway. King of all Twitches says, my club level in my living room will black out the Texans. There's also some comments about how the Texans might be in an offseason bidding war for Geno Smith or Daniel Jones. Oh, God. So, Kyrie Irving, he's interesting, right? He's got all sorts of takes. Flat Earth. He also is promoting Alex Jones conspiracy theories. He's putting out a link to a video called Hebrews to Negroes on Amazon Prime. It's a 3-hour, 28 video with a lot of anti-Semitic rhetoric under, I guess, the, I don't know, philosophy of black empowerment. We all know Kyrie Irving's someone who thinks he's a lot smarter than he actually is. I guess this is the price that we all must pay for someone who goes to Duke for 1 year to play basketball. He believes himself to be such a deep thinker that he sees things others don't. And maybe in some aspects of what he consumes online, he actually is on top of it. The big issue, though, with someone like Kyrie is when you call them out for being potentially wrong, he is not one to look at himself in the mirror and say, oh, okay, well, that's maybe incorrect what I said there. You make a good point. Kyrie doubles down and gets defensive. Here he is at a press conference for the Brooklyn Nets just a couple of days ago being confronted about posting Alex Jones conspiracy theories and this video link of a video called Hebrews to Negroes on Amazon Prime.
And to follow up on the promotion of the movie and the book.
Can you please stop calling it a promotion? What am I promoting?
Put it out on your platform.
But I'm promoting it? Do you see me doing, do you see
by
me in front
putting
of the,
it out there,
the title?
People are going to say that you are promoting.
Yeah, I put it out there just like you put things out there, right?
Yeah, but I,
okay.
It's not
you put things out there for a living, right?
Right, but my
great,
stuff
great,
is
so
not
let's move on.
Filled
let's
with
move on.
Anti-Semitic
let's
stuff.
Move on. Don't dehumanize me up here.
I'm not doing
I'm
that.
Another
you're
human
free to
being.
Post
I can
what,
post whatever I want, so say that
what?
And shut it down and move on to the next question.
But Kyrie, you have to understand that by
I don't have post, to understand anything from you.
But it's not me.
Nothing.
By
it's no people that you're making
did.
Up, bro. Move on.
But by posting
move
what
on.
You
next
did.
Question.
Anybody
you guys have any more questions
and
for
they're
me?
Gonna say
you guys have any more
does
questions
because
this is
going to
be a
beliefs.
Clip this is going to be a clip that he's going to marvel at. Is this any more questions?
But you're not answering the question.
It's another answering your question. Oh my god, let's make another Instagram clip so we could be famous again. Next question.
Kyrie, basketball related.
The press conference ended right there. The big issue I have is that if you're going to put stuff out there like that, at the very least, have a thoughtful response as opposed to getting mad about people that cover you for a living that are commenting on what you do off the court. Because let's be perfectly honest, it is this point in the basketball season where no one gives a damn what the Brooklyn Nets are doing. Football season is on. The World Series are in progress. I don't know how many people are pulled away from baseball. Excuse me, from basketball to baseball. I do feel like those audiences don't necessarily have the biggest overlap. What I will say, though, is that more people are interested in the doings of Kyrie Irving, a guy who, over the last couple of years, has barely played any basketball and sure as hell has had all sorts of hot takes on whatever topic you put in front of him. You would think that someone like that would actually, when asked about it, speak up more on it. Instead, he gets mad, defensive, and turtles. And to me, I think that's coward behavior. If you're going to put this stuff out there, I don't even have an issue with him necessarily promoting these things because I haven't watched them. I haven't read them. I don't know the context of them. You know, I will say that, say, he just posted the clip of Alex Jones denying that Sandy Hook happened. Yeah, that would be bad. He said that there was something else that Alex Jones had said, though, that he agrees with. Okay, maybe there was something that Alex Jones had said that actually ended up being correct. But in this situation right here, he is posting a link to a video, and he's saying he's not promoting it. Then what are you doing? Why are you posting about it? That's a fair question to ask about. And to get so defensive like that, it's why no one should take him seriously. It's why he's the worst. He is really... LeBron drives me crazy because he's fake. At the very least, I think that LeBron can be thoughtful on certain things. Maybe not when it comes to China, but on certain things. Kyrie is constantly talking out of his ass, left and right. And when you tell him that he is doing that, he is someone to say like, well, why are you looking at my ass? Well, because it's talking. It is right there. We are looking at all of the bleep come out and we are wondering if you're ever going to address it or if you're just going to act like we all should move on. And that's what he believes right there. I think it's lame. I'm all for athletes speaking up on things that they actually care about. But when you're speaking up about things because you're bored, which is what it always feels like with Kyrie Irving, I don't know. Maybe do a little homework on it so in case somebody comes up to you in a press conference, you can say something of note. You're dehumanizing me. Shut the hell up, dude. Like that part in particular. How are you being dehumanized there? You're being called out.
Yeah, he's just throwing out anything, any buzzword that he can to like, please stop asking me to answer for things that I... Also, Pablo Torre from ESPN watched the documentary. I don't even know if I could call it a documentary. Watch the movie that Kyrie Irving put out, and apparently there's a obviously fake Adolf Hitler quote where it also misspells the name Adolf when attributing it to Adolf Hitler.
Gotcha, okay. So this is like something that was done essentially by anyone who can post online
it's
to YouTube.
Absolutely bunk.
And it's something that's on brand with what Kyrie Irving consumes. This is a guy who likes to go down deep rabbit holes on YouTube, possibly while, I don't know, aided by things that make you a little bit more introspective. That's just a speculation on my end, but that's what he does. And he has regularly done it. So it shouldn't be surprising that he is promoting essentially what could have been put up by like a 10th grader living in Detroit, you know, for just a random example to throw out there. And then he posts it, and he probably didn't even watch it all the way through.
That's the other thing. It's like almost 4 hours long.
That's a long time. Just like LeBron doesn't read the books that he shows himself reading unless it's the first page, but only when there's other people around that can take pictures, Kyrie does this where it's a performative, introspective human being. And I think someone like that, if they actually want to be about that, has an opportunity to potentially drop a nugget from every now and then to make it seem like they know what they're talking about. But he's just completely full of it. And there are so many famous people in our society today that are just so damn full of it. And whenever they are asked to expand on anything, then they get defensive and angry. You could say that you don't know. You could say that I'm not sure. You could say that, yeah, there were some things there that I didn't necessarily agree with. But when you just put that out there, and in a city with as many Jewish people as New York City has, calls you out on it with reporters who probably have a hand in the game. Maybe some of them are actually Jewish themselves. Clearly, they have readers who are Jewish. Maybe they're going to be a little confrontational. What do you think is going to happen in that situation? How are you not prepared for that situation? How is someone in your PR team, whether it's your actual Brooklyn Nets public relations, who poor bleepers, that must suck, you know? I mean, we're not even talking about Ben Simmons, for Christ's sake. And then on top of that, like Kevin Durant not wanting to be there anymore. Or, shoot, maybe Kyrie Irving's own personal PR team or lawyers or agent or anyone. How are they not telling him, hey, like, just bring up some Sparks notes, man. Just a couple of points to support yourself. They don't even have to be from you. Just bring up a couple of talking points instead of getting defensive. Someone getting defensive like that should be absolutely grabbed by the scruff of the neck and rubbed through the dirt and poop that they have created for themselves on that floor. And I hope that Kyrie Irving continues to get crushed. I felt the need to join in on it. He has always been full of it. I am a little bit biased because of his time with the Boston Celtics, but he has always been this guy. And it bothers me that some people, like, because he had a couple of takes that actually ended up being, like, somewhat truthful, where, you know, some of his takes on COVID-19, they're not completely full of bleep, you know? But some of them, people are, like, using him, and I would say specifically on the right side of things, lifting him up and saying, like, oh, well, this is an example of someone who's being suppressed. Kyrie Irving's a dumbass. He should never be listened to. Period. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call and to text in too. Astros-Phillies Game 3 was rained out last night. It'll be back on tonight. Does Philly really have any advantage going into this game because of the rain delay? We'll discuss that next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!